Now, our guest. This is a man that played for Man City, Oldham Athletic, Aston Villa, Everton. Listen to these names. Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday. Was a part of the beginning, 27 years ago, of the Premier League in 1992, believe it or not. February, this month, 27 years ago. He is Earl Barrett. He is currently living, working in Houston as the assistant boys DA director at the Rise Soccer Club. Earl, I am so pumped you were in here tonight. Good evening. Got two segments with a Premier League legend.
Yeah, 27 years, that makes me feel really old.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I'm older than you, so you're not the oldest guy in the room. I guess I want to talk this first segment with you about your career. And if there's any Aston Villa fans out there, and I know the Space City Lions are out there, 713-780-3776. First influence in the game growing up in England?
First influence in the game? Wow. I think, I mean, my first influence as a person is my father. And he kind of taught me or tried to teach me the right way of doing things and the right way of dealing with people and respect and so on and so forth. And then from there, you know, my first look at kind of professional football in a way was one of my coaches, Tony Buck. And he really...
Famous name.
He really... this is when I was at Manchester City as a 15-year-old. He really... and Glyn Pardew was part of that team as well. They really... enabled me to understand what was required to become a professional soccer player, as you say over here, and what it would take to develop and get better as a young player.
Talking to Earl Barrett, played for Aston Villa. Right now, talking about his career at City. Now, you got loaned, correct me if I'm wrong here, to Chester City, right?
That's right. Yes.
And you're a teenager. Are you a full-time pro at this point?
Not quite.
You're not quite a full-time pro. But you help Chester City gain promotion, which, you know, that's the world is gaining promotion in the English setup at the time. That's got to be pretty remarkable. That has to be something that was a platform.
It was an unbelievable platform. And, you know, I'm a young kid. I'm quite happy in the Manchester City reserves. Every now and then I get a time in the first team at Manchester City, and then I get this thrust upon me. We want you to give you an opportunity to go on loan to Chester City, who were in the then fourth division, and I was a little bit anxious, to say the least. But it was one of the best things I've ever done, because it kind of, as you say, it gave me a platform to build from, really. And yeah, you know, you play in the reserves team league. Pontins League, I think it was called then, I played so many games and kind of I was playing and just playing and playing, and I didn't see where I was going with the games. And then this come along, and although I was really kind of scared and nervous, and I took the opportunity to do that, and they sent me there, and I had a great time. And it was soccer that meant something, and it meant that, you know, these guys who I was playing alongside, they depended on winning games to get their bonuses, and because they got mouths to feed.
You're a teenager,
and I'm a teenager. I've not got those responsibilities.
You're in a man's world.
Yeah, I'm not got those responsibilities, but they have, and it really meant something. And I think, you know, experiencing that, and it was, you know, fourth division, so it was at the time the lowest division in the professional league. It was fantastic, and it really did give me a platform to go on to do more, really.
And you go to Oldham Athletic. We're talking to Earl Barrett. He was mainly a right back. He did play a little bit as a center back as well.
Yes.
Has the right back position changed through your eyes now game?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think, you know, mostly these days it's about attacking. And, you know, when the game's moved on, and it should be about that as well. But I also think it should be about defending, because it is, the right back is predominantly a defender. And yes, I wasn't gifted in my attacking prowess, but I'd like to think I was a pretty good defender, and that's what, you know, in those days, that's what it was about, you know, strictly defending. And if you could get forward and contribute, then you could get forward and contribute. But yeah, the game's changed so much; it's quicker, and certainly, you know, defenders, outside backs, they are expected to get forward and attack and cross and even score goals at times.
So I guarantee you're sitting at home sometimes going, this guy can't defend. even though we know he's beautiful going forward. I hear a lot of, you know, a lot of times we'll go, can he defend? It doesn't even look like
obviously
he can
there is that. These are, you know, these players are gifted. You know, let's not forget they are talented players, and even the best defenders can't defend at the wrong times, really. But even the best defenders can't defend, and you come up against Messi and Ronaldo and those types of players, you're going to look like you can't defend. So that happens, you know. And I think, but you know, as long as I think defenders have a good idea about defending, more often than not, they'll defend in the right way.
All right. So we have an Aston Villa supporters group in Houston. I think it's Space City Lions, and I think we've had them on the show before. Your time at Aston Villa, 92 to 95, 116 appearances, a goal. I don't know if those numbers are right, but all we know is you played well over 100 games.
Yeah.
What were those times like? And that was the beginning of the Premier League in 92, right? So did things mentally change for people when they said, okay, we got the Premier League now? Did you see visible change, or was it just a dressed up first division of English soccer?
So things don't happen overnight, you know, and people, you know, people talk to me, oh, you become a professional soccer player. What was it like? How did it happen? Did it happen overnight? I said, no, it doesn't happen overnight. There's a lot of hard work that goes on before that. And so the Premier League was something that happened. Okay? Now, along with that, I was kind of rising in the game. So, and it kind of happened hand in hand, I suppose. And, you know, at that time, I'd just been signed by Aston Villa. The Premier League happens. So I was building a reputation. Besides the Premier League, I was building my own reputation, and you know, fortunately for me, managers and coaches gave me the opportunity to play higher and play higher and play higher and challenge myself. And with that, I managed to get into the Young England teams. And then when I was at the end of my career at Oldham, but then I got transferred to Aston Villa. Now, Villa was something else, because I remember one of the first games I played for Villa. We played Wimbledon, and Dylan Atkinson, God rest his soul, he basically dribbled from the halfway line and scored a goal. And you know, that's one of the, probably the only times I've kind of mouth open got, you know, said to myself, wow,
yeah,
this is the big league. Because, and I look back, and no disrespect to the players at Oldham, but nobody could do that at Oldham with the skill, the speed, the strength. And the calmness to score from that, you know, dribbling from the halfway line and just slot the ball in the back of the net. And that's really when I knew, right, this is big time, I better. But my kind of idea towards that was not that, oh, I've arrived. It was that I better improve. I better develop, because I've got to stop people like Dylan Atkinson.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my attitude towards that.
It seems, looking at your career and listening to you talk about it, and we're talking to Earl Barrett here, who started his career at Manchester City, went on to Aston Villa. We're at that stage of his career right now, between 92 and 95. It just seems like, you know, the right things happen and your progression worked out beautifully, which doesn't always happen to people, but it just seems like each step was timed right. You got the right amount of experience at this club. Okay, perfect, right move now for Earl.
Yeah, it did seem that way, and you know, not to forget that when I was at Manchester City, we used to play. We had you had the reserves, but you also had an A and a B team for the youth team. And what you had with that is we used to play semi-professional teams. So we're 16, 17 years old. We're playing open age semi-professional teams,
yeah.
And we used to get our butts kicked. To be quite honest,
hard guys.
But again, it just gave us that idea that, you know, we're not all that, because we're a big Manchester City. We've got a little bit to learn, and these pros who were semi professional, but they could play and they could dig as well. They were strong boys, strong guys, men, I should say. And so that again, that's made us understand and develop from there, and you know, and learn from there. And then obviously went to from Manchester City, went to Oldham Athletic, where again, you know, I went from a first division team to a second division team, but I was playing in the first team at Oldham, and again it was kind of right, you're from a boy one day and a man the next,
mm-hmm.
Sort it out kind of thing. It was here you go on if you think you're good enough, and it was kind of that really, and it was kind of just although it was incremental, It was, yeah, you're in the big, you're in the, you're playing against men now, you're playing in the, you're playing league soccer now, you're in the second division, you got to stop people playing, you got to make sure you develop, make sure you improve, and make sure you play well for this first team.
All right, so with Oldham Athletic, you play in a 90 Cup final. It's Nottingham Forest, the famed manager, Brian Clough. What do you remember about that day?
Tough game, blazing hot, as cup finals usually are. And I remember the goal to this day. I'm one of these players, I don't know why, but I don't remember a lot about games, but I remember this goal. And I remember Nigel Jemson. I was playing centre-back at the time, and the ball got played up to Nigel Jemson. I thought I could out-jump him. However, he jumped, I jumped, he flicked the ball on, and he landed before me. He's landed and kind of sprint past me. I've landed, I couldn't catch him, and he got the return ball and scored, basically. So I kind of, you know, like, pinched myself and kicked myself that I wasn't able to do a better job there, because obviously they beat us 1-0 and we lost the game. However, for a second division team to beat a lot of first division teams on the road to Wembley was a magnificent feat for us.
Remarkable that you were there.
Yeah, and you know, we were, as a team, we were just a fantastic team, a second division team, but we're a fantastic team. And at the time, you know, confidence is everything, and we thought we could beat anybody on the day.
We're talking to Earl Barrett. He was a right back, center back, had an outstanding career in England, and fortunately, he's a part of our soccer community here in Houston now, teaching young players at Rise, and he is the assistant boys DA director there at Rise Soccer Club, which many of us remember used to be the Express. It was started over there in West University. Your first cap, you get it against New Zealand in New Zealand. What is it like to put on now? I knew you were a youth international, but now you're putting on the full senior jersey for England, the Three Lions. You're representing your country. I mean, this has to be a magical moment.
It was a magical moment. And, you know, me caps were all friendlies. However, there were, you know, great moments. And you know, as I say, everything was incremental for me. You know, before then, I was in what England used to do. Excuse me, was that they'd get the squads together, but they'd always have two, maybe three players sitting in the stands. So they'd take them away, say you go to Norway or something, you take them away, the two or three extra players, just in case they get sickness, any kind of illness or something like that, would have players in the stand who could go and so for a few squads, I was one of those players. So, excuse me, obviously you don't get put on the team sheet until you're required. So right. I was one of those players. However, that gave me kind of an insight into how things work in England, and just made me feel a little bit more at home when it did come to that time when I was going to play the game against New Zealand. And so, you know, me going onto the grass against New Zealand, I was nervous, yes. But you know, I've always been nervous with every game. I feel nerves is part of a sporting performance, and I took nerves as me caring as opposed to me not being able to perform because of the nerves, you know. So I thought you know, nerves was a positive thing for me.
Earl, I'm not sure you would want me to talk a lot about Liverpool, but I'm sure you've got a great Liverpool story from my friends at Liverpool. We're visiting with Earl Barrett, who played for Aston Villa. Got a good Liverpool story?
Not really. I was more of an Everton side, so don't really talk about Liverpool, but no, what we'll say.
You were in Merseyside derbies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take us into one of those.
Oh,
the intensity.
Incredible. But again, you know, I think, you know, like I said previously, I think those moments are moments you want, because they, you know, they develop you more as a player. You know, it's not just about the notoriety of the game, the derby of the game. It's about how the game plays out and how you manage that moment, because you know those games they're hyped up all week. It's not just on the day, they're hyped up all week, and you know you're in a derby. So then you have to manage your levels, basically, and you know you and you got to make sure you don't get over overhyped for the game so that you can perform. And, you know, we've seen, you know, a few players in my time where they've overhyped themselves and they've come off
played like poorly.
And they don't play well. So I think you're just managing those moments. And until you're in that kind of moment, it's very difficult to kind of replicate it or explain it. But, you know, magnificent times playing against, you know, Liverpool. On occasion, we beat them. More often than not, it was a draw. Occasion that they beat us. So, but at the moment, Liverpool, I just don't see them getting beat.
Yeah,
I mean, they are unbelievable. They really are. And you know, I try and look every week and think, oh, they're going to get beat this week. No, they're just no chance. They just look even when they're losing, even when it's the last 5 minutes, they just look like scoring every single attack, you know.
And they seem to get stronger in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, and I just think sometimes Klopp's done an amazing job. But I also think sometimes if you have the right blend of players, you know, off the bench as well, and they just fit with each other, you just can't lose. And that's what Liverpool are proving at the moment.
Remarkable. Earl Barrett in studio here, former player with Aston Villa, Everton, as you just mentioned. So I want to take you back to what you just said, because you talked about people getting overhyped and just too over the top that they don't perform the way that you would want. And you're working with youth players now with the Rise Soccer Club. And how do you talk to them about, you know, maintaining emotional control? Because that's always an issue with young soccer players.
Yeah, it's an issue. I don't think anybody's, any of the players have overhyped themselves in what I've seen. But I think what you want to do is make sure that every session is a hype session, if you like. So every session is the same. So it's you know, every session means everything. It means everything to that player. It means everything to the players. And so I want to try and create an environment where it's just competitive, and it means everything. So that when they get into a game, it's the same thing. It's the same environment. And they want to win, and I think that's important for the kids to understand. And I, you know, as regards them in games, I've never really come to a situation where I've saw one of the players and I thought, oh, he's overhyping himself. It's never really been that moment. More often than that, they kind of rabbit in headlights more than they've overhyped the kind of game. And when they get rabbit in headlights, you got to try and talk to them and calm them down, and then what you do is you put them on the field and I mean you look at it before you actually play the game. Obviously you do the warm up and all the time you're evaluating the players. So evaluation of the players is a thing you do every time you see them. What state of mind are they in? Is he concentrating? Is he not concentrating? What's he doing? What's on his home life? What's he doing at school? And so you're always evaluating them, how their state of mind. So no different than in on the match day. You're looking at the players. You look at how they've come in. Are they ready for it? Are they not ready? Do I need to talk to them in a strong manner to get them ready? Whether it's individuals or whether it's the whole team. And when you're doing the warm up and you're doing your little runs, I'm evaluating them all the time, and I want to make sure that the minds are on the game.
Talking to Earl Barrett, not only was a Premier League player, it's an incredible resume you have here. Played with Aston Villa, Everton, we mentioned that before. Assistant boys, DA director, so working heavily with youth. You know, we get the rap here in America. Oh, the kids are soft, it's pay for play, is that a big problem? And how do you see that in the context of the way that you grew up with the game in England? Because it is very different.
So in the way I grew up, it was...
That's not an easy question either. You thought the rock and roll question was a tough one. This is even tougher.
So I've got an answer for you. I'm going to go around the house a little bit. But when I grew up in England, it was just me, my brother and my father. He brought us up, and it seemed like we had to fight for everything. Just, you know, I'd ask for. I remember when I was playing Sunday League soccer, and I'd ask my father for some money to get the bus to get to the soccer, and even that was a fight because he'd go, "Oh, I can't afford this," and blah blah. But he'd always give me the money. Mm-hmm. So everything's you kind of fighting to get it,
yeah.
But I got it. And went, that made me value
appreciate it more.
That appreciate that money that he gave me, and then it made me appreciate the soccer when I got to it.
Mm-hmm.
So then you move that further on now, and I want the players to. When we talk about winning as development in inverted mm-hmm. commas, I believe in winning, but winning to me is about winning my battle. The game's the game, and ideally you want to win the game, but as long as that individual wins the battle, and the battle doesn't mean that you win the war, it just means you win the battle. So for argument's sake, I'm playing against you, for argument's sake, and you kick me butt. Winning, and every time I play you kick me butt, and you throw me on the floor, and every time. Now winning, and the first few times, I kind of shy away from it. But then I talk to the coach, and the coach says, you got to do this, it's good for you, and blah, blah. And then the next few times, you still kick me butt, but the next few times, I look at you face to face, and I go on then, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
That's success. So, so I find success in that. So I'm looking for success, not just about winning the game, that helps, but also winning your personal battle, winning a situation that you might not want to face or that you find really challenging. So I'm looking for players to do that and progress by doing that. And that's how I try to work. I just tried to work and I thought, well, every day I'm going to try and get a little bit better than I was yesterday and see where that takes me. But I always believe that I could do that. I always believe that I could get just a little bit better than I was yesterday. And that just kept me going and took me further.
Talking to Earl Barrett, Rye Soccer Club here in Houston, also a former Premier League player. So I was involved in running a club called the Hurricanes. It was before, I wouldn't say it was totally different, but a lot of the club at that time was kids from the same neighborhood. And there was real value in that because they're still friends today. They go to games together. They're lawyers, doctors, pharmaceutical reps. They have kids. There is something to the local nature of being with a bunch of guys, getting to know them, this being your team. And I know that maybe is a little bit missing now because, you guys are a mammoth soccer club, right? I mean, it's you, Eclipse, Texans came together. It's Rise now.
Yeah.
It's a mammoth soccer club.
It is.
How do you keep the personal touch involved with it?
It is, but then I think, we've got to, soccer, inverted commas, is a mammoth thing. And you, mm-hmm. you look at all the teams. All the teams are not just one. They've not just got one nation in their team. It's multicultural. Okay, and I think all the teams you look around the world are like that, and then it's same. It's just same with amateur clubs as well, like ourselves. There's lots of different players from different avenues, different areas, different neighborhoods, and that's the beauty of sport. It's about bringing people together, and to do that is a wonderful thing. Now, yes, the next thing is to get them together and make sure they work together, and we try and develop that. Through Rice.
I didn't mean to rush you there, Earl, but when this director of mine says we're on a hard break, we got to get it done. Listen, Earl, I thank you so much for coming in. We got to have you come in more because we only barely scratched the surface on the youth stuff.
Absolutely.
All right.
Enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Earl Barrett. Played with Oldham Athletic, Aston Villa, Everton, Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday, 3 caps for England. And guess what? He's a part of our Houston soccer community. He's been here 3 years working with Rise Soccer Club as one of the DA directors. We really thank Earl for coming in. We'll